put a tag on this text for your consideration this morning. Why trouble came. Take your seats in the presence of the Lord. Why trouble came. The book of Job is one of the wisdom books of the Bible. It is part of what is called the Psalter. The Psalter of the Bible is comprised of Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, and Job. These are the books of the Bible that endeavor to take us into the manifold pleas of what it means to live a life under the watch of the living God. The book of Job is particular because it deals with the issue of theodicy. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
The issue of theodicy. So I want to say it correctly. Theodicy is the struggle to understand the reality of evil. Every preacher, pastor, theologian, Bible student, child of God at some point has to deal with theodicy.
Yes.
You must understand that no matter how saved you are, you have an enemy that wants you to die. You are not good. If you think you're going to go through life, you are not going through life without conflict and adversity.
Amen.
The reason you have to deal with the stress and the perplexities of life is not because you are so special and wonderful. But you are loved by someone who's special and wonderful. The devil does not hate you. The devil hates who loves you. The devil knows by taking you out, he will hurt the heart of God. The book of Job gives us an insight into how evil can exist in a world where God is good. And where the blood of Christ is real. The book of Job enters into that cosmological conversation. The book of Job gives us a biopsy, y'all, into the nature of what it means to be alive. Whenever you read the book of Job, you are reading the lines and words of a heart that has been crushed and broken. Job, a man that has lost everything. He lost everything and he held on to nothing.
All right.
Y'all ain't got that.
Yeah.
He lost everything and he held on to nothing.
Yes.
Let me make it clear for you. Job lost everything and still was ready to give more. If you remember in the first chapter of Job, watch me now. In the first chapter of Job, the man, the servant, comes to tell Job that his children are dead and his cattle is gone. The Bible says that Job went into the backyard in that first chapter. Job went in the backyard and shaved his head, fell down on the ground, and said, "Naked I came into the world, and naked I go out of the world. The Lord give it, and the Lord take it. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He said, "I done lost the love, right? Naked I came into the world. I don't care what else I gotta lose. The Lord give it and the Lord take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Y'all ain't got that. You know what I'm saying? If I'm gonna praise him when he blessed me, and if he allows something to happen to me, I'm still gonna bless him. My praise is not predicated on what he does for me. Watch this now. How do you know? I really don't want to hang on it, but I got to go here.
All right.
How do you know you're grown up in God? You're grown up in God when your praise is not conditioned by what you have.
That's right.
That's when you can praise God. Not for the car you drive.
All right.
Not for the job you got. Not for the clothes you got.
Amen.
Not for the house you live in.
Yes.
No, you just praise God because he's God.
Thank you, Jesus.
When trouble comes, it will test your faith and your belief. I don't care how prayed up you are, how many sermons you remember. When trouble comes all in one night, it will make you ask the enemy to take you out. Did y'all understand what I'm saying? All this happened to Job in a day. If that happened to us, we'd be asking the adversity, take me out, let me go. I can't take it no more. Everything Job cared about and loved died. Isn't that funny how things die and you can do nothing about it? Are y'all with me?
Amen.
You have no control when things die. Well, I'm not talking just in the physical. I'm talking in the spirit right now. There are three reasons, y'all. There are only three reasons why things die in your life. Let's start number one. Because things die in your life, number one, because they never should have been alive in the first place. Whenever God has something, he must press. Whenever there's something in your life that God needs to move, God will press against it. You heard that terminology? He'll press against it. Because he actually put his hand on it, he just obliterate. He said, I just rub by it. But y'all ain't feeling it. God told Moses, say, let me see you. God told Moses on Mount Sinai, he said, no man has seen me and live. He said, but since I found favor in you, Moses, it's a place inside the rock. In case y'all don't know, that's Jesus. He said, hide inside the rock. And when I pass by you, I'll allow you to see my backside. God has something he must press against in your life. You know why? God prefers to that for that thing to die. So he can preserve your life. Are y'all with me? God will always choose you over the thing you worship it over him. Number two. Things die in your life so that you can know you can live without them.
Talk to us.
God allows things to die in your life to remind you that it did not create you. That thing that died in your life, God wants you to know it did not put breath in your body.
Amen.
Oh, y'all, preach to myself.
Come on now.
God allowed it to die so that you know it didn't put food on your table. Didn't put water in your cup.
Come on now. Come on, talk to us. Jesus, thank you, Lord.
God allows some things to die, y'all, so that you will know. Come on. And he alone is the sovereign God of your life.
Thank you, Lord.
And everything else got a backup.
Come on. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Israel, your God. There's one God, Israel. One faith. One baptism. There's nothing above me or below me. Don't put nothing before me. Because I press against it and remove it so you can recognize just me. Trouble comes with a hidden agenda. The third and final reason. God allows things to die in your life. Watch this now. I'm loving this one. Why you just gotta take things out? You know why God allows some things to die in your life at will in your life? Because God said, I got the strength to bring it back to life.
That's right. Yes.
you say. You think you lost something. You ain't lost it. God just put it down for a little while. You trying to hold on to something that's not yours anyway. You worshiping the wrong thing. Anything that has your attention and you think about it more than you think about God, that's in your God. God allows you to die. He says, because I can bring it back.
Yes.
Testified David.
Yes.
David inquired of the Lord when the enemy came into the camp while him and the men were out. Yes. Took all the children, took the wives, and took the ox. David inquired of the Lord after he put on his preaching suit. He cried, he said, Lord, should I pursue? The God told him, pursue, because you shall recover all.
Oh, yes.
All.
Everything. Oh, Jesus.
You really didn't lose it. God said, you will recover.
That's right.
But I got to take you through a training process.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
So you get your priorities straight. God said, I let it die because I have the ability to get down in the grave with it.
Yes.
I got the ability to get down in the grave with it and get in the dirt to show you that not even death will keep me from you.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Be it famine, be it stress, be it pestilence, nothing. Be it sword.
Nothing.
Amen. If God can be for you, who's against you?
Amen.
Let me hurt you my clothes. Job tells his friends, that which I have, that which I have feared the most has come upon me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Listen to me good, church. Can I teach it like God gave it to me?
Yes.
The statement was not just a complaint from Job or an indictment of the power of God to deliver us. The statement was not just a complaint. That statement heard her hell all the suffering Job was experienced wrapped up in one sentence.
Yes.
Now, the usual interpretation of the text is, watch me, Deacon Lynn. The usual interpretation of the text is, it appears that Job was the victim of a situation.
Yes.
That was thrust upon him by God.
Yes.
I rose this morning to teach you and deposit a deeper understanding of the text to you. Job was not a victim.
All right.
Job was a rich man, had many cattle, the richest man in the land.
Yes. Come on now.
Yes.
Had him a wife, children, land. Job had it going on. Job was a big baller shot caller.
Yes.
I say all this to say this to you. Well, listen to me, church. That Job was not innocent. I know it's the Bible says he's a righteous man.
Right, right.
There was none in the man more righteous than the land, more righteous than Job.
That's right.
I didn't say he was righteous. He was innocent.
Yes.
But not guiltless.
Right.
Y'all with me?
Yeah.
You do know you can be innocent of the charges, but guilty of the crime. Y'all with me?
Yes.
Yeah. Job says, that which I have feared the most has come upon me. Mm-hmm. This is a confession. All the things that Job had going for him in his heart, he had something in his heart that he was afraid of.
Yes.
He was rich, had it all, but he was a scared rich man. He was rich but living in fear.
Yes.
The Bible says, so a man thinketh, so is he.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Your fears will ring your doorbell one day.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Whatever you give attention to or worship will manifest itself in your life.
Amen.
was Job feared the most, and he thought about it all the time. Even though he was worshiping, but he had that thing that he was fear. He was feared. It stayed there. Every time God called a prophet, what did God tell the prophet? Every single time, I don't care who you check, Jeremiah, whoever, God said, be not afraid.
Yes.
Oh, he said, be not afraid. God can use you if you're not strong enough.
Yes.
God can use you if you're not smart enough. But God cannot use you if you are afraid to go.
Yes.
Fear will shut you down.
Amen.
Prevent you from being all that you can be.
Yeah.
It is the number one tool of the enemy. Trouble comes with a hidden agenda.
Yes, it does.
It comes to stir up that which is on the inside of you that you fear. God says, I'm going to take you to the next level. I'm going to allow trouble. So guess what? You put it all on the table. I don't want you to be scared of nothing. But I got to bring it up out of you. Because see, we like to hold stuff on the inside.
Yes.
God said, I'll get you to throw it up. You go through so much stuff. It'll be in your face. In the name of Jesus right now, I command every mind in here to be free.
Amen.
Every mind that listens to this message to be free.
Amen.
Every spirit to be unshackled.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
God said, I'm the author and the finisher of your faith.
Yes.
God said, what you scared of?
Amen.
He said, I don't fear nothing.
Amen.
He said, look at the end of Job. Once Job dealt with the fear that had came upon him, Job said, it came upon me.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't strange. Job said it right in the text. It was not strange. He said, that which I was afraid of is came unto me.
Yes.
He was familiar with it.
Yes.
You got your, I'll make this, I'm looking, I'm sitting in my seat. You got your good job. God done bless you. You got a good job.
Yes.
You thank him every morning. You get a few. Thank God for that job.
Thank you, Jesus.
You wake up in the morning, but then you get in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Driving on your way to work. You worrying about who going to take your job from you today. Who going to conspire something to take it from you?
Yes.
You got good health. You're thanking God for it. But you walk around every minute. Something, just the least little thing happening, you got to run to the doctor, the hospital. Because you think sickness on you. You ain't got nothing but a headache. You ain't having a stroke. But that which you fear the most will manifest itself in your life. God said, who is the author and finisher of your faith? The fear or me?
Yes, sir.
He said, fear not. I am your God.
Yes.
No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Everything rises up against you. He said, I will condemn it.
Yes.
Those who curse you, I will curse them. And those who bless you, I will bless them.
Amen.
Blessed be my name. He said, I'll bless your goings out and your comings in. What you scared about? He said, I got everything you need all wrapped up in one, Deacon Lenny.
Yes, sir.
He said, you hurt because those people don't like you. So what? I'm a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. You worried about paying the bill because you get threatened to lose your job. Guess what? Tell the devil, this is what you need to tell the devil. If you take my car today, I'm going to wake up in the morning and praise God anyway. God for you to be scared and you his child. getting all the money you need, but guess what? Dress and walk like you got something. I don't care if I have to wear the same black suit every day. I'm going to be happy. And guess what? I do come to church with the same black suit on sometimes. It's really not my problem. I'm not concerned about that because I'm not coming to a fashion show. I'm just coming to do the work. I can care less. I'm not dressing to impress. I'm dressing to walk the walk. Destroy that fear that's keeping you and from that next level that God wants us to go to. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because God is with me. Can I get a witness in here? Clap your hands and give God a hand. You got no trouble and perplexities in your life, adversity in your life, just live and keep living. Just wait a little while. It's coming. Prepare yourself for it.
Thank you, Lord.
But you're not like those that are out in the street, y'all, who don't have a mediator, an advocate, that's sitting on the right hand of Father making intercession for you. So whatever comes your way, you and God can handle it.
Amen.
Can I get a witness in here? If there's one today that don't know the Lord, it's that personal Savior. The Bible says, now is the simple time, now is the day of salvation. When you hear God knocking at your heart, harden not your heart. Open the door. You have not because you ask God. Is there one here like that today? We ask you to walk down the aisle. Give God your hand. And give the pastor. Give God your heart. Give the pastor your hand. Those that are just going to hear this message, I'm saying to you, and you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, you can accept Him wherever you are. The invitation to come to Christ has never gone away. It's always open. He will always say, come as you are. Amen?